All right, everybody, we are live. Richard, you ready to go?
I think so.
Okay, great.
Hi, you guys. This is Lost Arts Radio Live. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it very much. And Doug was just telling me that some of you are enjoying the Jeff Berwick archive of the live stream from yesterday. So I'm glad that you're finding that interesting. I thought it was a great treat to be able to talk with Jeff finally after years of following his work. And he was very kind to come on Lost Arts Radio, so that was great. As most of you probably know already, and I hope I'm staying close enough to the mic, Doug, for people to hear. As most of you know already, this is the idea of this show. You know, since our main show is on Sunday and our club show is later, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern on Saturday, this was going to be kind of a weekly review of stuff that was happening during the week, and I thought of it originally as a news show, but then I realized you guys have hundreds of good news shows now, fortunately, and we still recommend for a comprehensive view that what the job that Alex Jones is doing. I think even though there are a group of people out there who will hate you if you think Alex Jones is good, they'll just have to hate me because I think he's really doing a great job. He's got a staff now of, I guess, more than 100 people, and they're on 6 days a week at InfoWarsShow.com, InfoWars.com/show, I think. Is that the right address, Doug? /show for listening to it live. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I really recommend that. So we can't compete with that. We don't have 100 employees and spending, you know, thousands of man hours every week to get the news together to correlate it for you. But I think the function that this show can fulfill in what we'd like to accomplish with it is talking about what's actually going on behind the scenes. You know, you can tell all these different things are going on, but overall, what's happening? It's not really useful to just get a list of thousands of things that are, you know, threats to the survival of humanity, and to just have nervous breakdowns over it, or not pay any attention to it, whatever your reaction tends to be. But I'm really interested in solutions to what's going on, and my motive is really simple. I just want everybody to be okay, and by that I don't just mean survive for a while and then die. I mean actually have a good experience in their life and get as much out of it as possible and have, you know, get some success in harmony in your relationships, in your experience with your own physical health and your mental state and your emotional state, and, you know, enjoy the brief time here to some extent as much as you can. So what is that, you know, how does that relate to what's going on in the world in terms of news? Well, my thought is, if we want to understand what's going on, we got to take the incredible amount of complexity that's around us and kind of consolidate it down to what does it mean. So you have, you know, outer events. For example, this week it was announced that Vladimir Putin in Russia and Donald Trump in America are going to meet in Finland and finally have a summit meeting that has been overdue, I think. It's one of Trump's big mistakes. He should have met with, I mean, not that I know how to really judge what's a mistake of his because I'm not in his shoes, but from the outside, it looks to me like that was a big mistake. He should have met with Putin probably the day after he got, you know, elected and or inaugurated and or very close to that, because Putin represents this huge country with massive resources and nuclear weapons and lots of people, and the most important thing is he was offering and asking to be an ally of the U.S. and doing a lot of good things that America could learn from. For example, resisting the implementation of Wi-Fi in the schools, trying to get it out of the schools so it wouldn't be near the kids in Russia. That is something that the U.S. really should follow. And Putin was saying he wanted to be the biggest exporter of organic food on the planet. That's a super good goal, and the U.S. could learn a lot from that. The chemical agriculture, not just the GMOs, but chemical agriculture in general, is a complete disaster. And I'm not criticizing the people who make their living from it. I want them to make a good living, of course. But when you put synthetic chemical fertilizers in the soil, that's what leads to the apparent necessity of pesticides. And then GMOs are just taking it further to the ridiculous extreme where you change the natural genetics of the plants and the seeds and make them so that the hamsters, for example, that were fed GMOs for three generations, they lost their complete ability to reproduce after that. And we're into the, on the average, I guess, the second generation now in the U.S. of eating GMOs, trusting government and the Department of Agriculture and all these authority figures to keep us safe and not approve anything to eat unless it can be good for you or at least not harmful. And people actually trust that, and unfortunately it's not true at all. All kinds of things are approved because of corrupt political and financial interests and things like that. So Putin was setting a good example for the United States by saying, let's just ban GMOs and try to really produce as much organic food as we can. And he was supporting people being able to have a place to grow organic food. He was making it easy for them to get land. He was supporting the family structure, which is the building block of the whole society, really. And it doesn't mean everybody has to have a nuclear conventional family, but it means the ones who are willing to do that and for whom it's natural, that's where the future generations come from. And so Putin was understanding and supporting that. I think the U.S. could really take an example from that. Lots of things obviously still need to be corrected within Russia, but at least it's no longer communist. And so I'm just talking about this because it's an example of the regular level on which news is happening, and it's important to understand that. And that's why, you know, we say, you know, listen to InfoWars as much as you can, because Alex has his vast background in historical reading and has gotten into the white papers that all these think tanks and private groups publish. And he's also in touch with the top level of government people in many different countries, all of whom listen to him. And he's also hated by the conventional Republicans and Democrats both, who are trying to make laws in Congress to get him off the air right now. So that's like a super good government seal of approval. And as long as he's around, it's worth listening. So what can we add to the incredible detail and analysis that he gives every week? Well, I think if you understand all the different things that are happening and all the big areas of concern and what's going on with the attacks on our president, for example, by both Republicans and Democrats, except the ones that understand at a deeper level what's going on, trying to accuse him of all these things like racism and collusion with Russia, as supposedly that's why he got elected, which is completely ridiculous. You know, he got elected because people were hoping that he would represent a choice of freedom and national sovereignty and protecting the borders against illegal immigration and normal stuff like that. He even during the campaign, he was brave enough to say that vaccines should be analyzed for safety, which of course they don't have any safety. And that was unthinkable that a presidential candidate could even say something like that. So those kind of things are why people voted for him, and to get rid of lobbyists, which he's done a lot of, and to cut stupid regulations like from the EPA that was wanting to put somebody in prison for collecting rainwater. And, you know, that's most of the regulations are stuff like that. He says, yeah, we want to keep good environmental regulations, which he needs to do a lot better on that. But he was right about getting rid of ones that are just designed to destroy economic activity. He was also elected by a lot of Democrats, too, and people of all so-called races and everything. They all voted for him, probably many more than were officially recorded because of all the fraud. I think he probably won like 4-1 over Hillary Clinton, but also because he wanted to make people be able to have jobs and prosperity and a good living again and not have the economy being destroyed, which the Bushes and the Clintons and Obama and some of the many people before them were intentionally doing that to destroy the U.S. economy. And the reason they were doing that, which a lot of people don't realize, is that they were beholden to what Alex calls the globalists or the global rulers or the people who have a plan for global tyranny to consolidate world government in one particular place and then rule everything from there, like the One Ring of Sauron, if you're familiar with that story. And Trump wasn't part of that. He's not part of that. He came up through the ranks of the really tough business world and, you know, having to deal with all kinds of people in business and crime families and all that just to stay alive and survive and make it. But his motive, which he's expressed for many years, is to try to help the country. Didn't really want to be president, but decided he finally had to do it, subject himself to losing all this money and being slandered by the media and hated by half the country because of the media dishonesty and all that. He decided to do that in order to help turn the everything around, but it can't really stay turned around unless some really basic stuff has changed. And some of you know that we had a live stream talk with Jeff Berwick yesterday. And we were talking about G. Edward Griffin and the work that he'd done about explaining the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is just a name. And, of course, my discussion with Jeff started with how words can be used to deceive us. And they are all the time. It's a psychological operation that has been going on with more and more sophistication for a long time. It's probably one of the biggest weapons against all the people, including the media, which is owned by handful of big corporations, and the media doesn't have any obligation to tell the truth. They just engineer social opinion and beliefs according to what their owners want, and their owners are down to something like 5 major global corporations now. And Trump is outside of that. He's pointing out that they're completely dishonest. They're trying to make it seem like he's saying media is bad. He never said that. He said corrupt media is really dangerous, a big weapon against the people, which it is. And we don't need Donald Trump to recognize that. It's true all the time. So it's like the Trump presidency has turned the economy around for the moment and bought us some time, but more basic things have to change for that to become permanent. And I know that Jeff was saying that he thinks Trump is the same as all the other guys. I don't think so. There are a lot of things that Trump doesn't understand that need to be brought to his attention. But what's different about him, and I didn't really plan to get into a big thing on Trump now, but I can use it to illustrate what I wanted to bring up. And this is a short program. It's 1 hour, so I got to kind of get through this stuff quickly and hope that I can touch on most of what I wanted to share with you, since I only get to see you once a week on this show. As Jeff did bring up, and I agree with him, that the central banking system, which is not federal, that's just a name they use to try to fool everybody and make you think it's part of the government, which it's not. It's above the government, and Congress can shut it down, or at least pass a law to shut it down, but they haven't been brave enough to do that yet. What I was going to say was unusual about Donald Trump was not that he understands everything or he doesn't make mistakes. That's not true. He made that mistake that I mentioned with Russia. He made a criminal-type mistake shooting missiles into Syria. That's completely unconscionable and I won't say unforgivable, because if things are unforgivable, we're all in a lot of trouble, every one of us. But really unethical and immoral. And he's brought in a lot of horrible people into the government, I think, because he has a lot of faith in really high-level business and military leaders and doesn't fully realize the degree of corruption yet. But I think he's absorbing it and learning quickly. And the Federal Reserve is one of the highest levels of corruption that there is. And it's designed to basically siphon off the wealth that people earn who are working for it and give it to the owners of the central bank, which are not even mostly in the country. They're all over the world, members of the ruling families, and so that they can have more control over all of us. And they do that by making us work as hard as we can just to stay alive all the time, and or else stay dependent on government handouts. Some of us have to if we're disabled or things like that, but Just notice that the light just burned out. I hope you can still see me okay. We got backup lighting going on. So the idea is that part of the control structure is that if it keeps you poor and keeps you unable to make the money that you need to make, then you won't have enough time to resist what government and the global corporations in partnership are doing to control your life. And it's worked pretty well up to this point, but there is consciousness spreading. And you can see Donald Trump absorbing more of it. You can see Alex Jones as he does his newscasts, which I've watched his work for the last 18 years, and he's definitely developing in consciousness. For example, he always gets into getting really angry or really upset. I've seen him cry on air or start screaming, and of course that's used by the media to show that he's insane, but he's just real. And I think people like that who understand what's going on. He was getting into one of his rants about how he wants to just kill the globalists and, you know, destroy everything they're doing. But then he says, politically, of course, you know, he's not advocating preemptive violence, and he doesn't do that. But then he said, you know, I really don't want to hurt anybody. That's not my goal. And it shows he's growing up on another level, and as we all are. What we want to do is make things better. We're not out. This is why I say justice is nonsense, because it doesn't mean you don't want to stop bad things from happening. We have to do that. But to take any pleasure in punishment of anybody or in causing pain and suffering to other people, it puts us right into the frequency and the energy of the people that we're objecting to. And our potential to make a positive difference is a lot greater, and we're much stronger if we don't fall for that. So as all of you probably know, I'm a really strong advocate of self-defense and the Second Amendment. I was involved in martial arts for 40 years or so, and the women that are all getting raped by these waves of attackers in Scandinavia, you know, I'd give all those women training and arm them and give them firearms to carry, and I think it would be over the next day. Nobody with any intelligence would attack and try to rape somebody who's armed and trained. So, you know, I'm not a pacifist, but I just, as far as my intent goes, I don't want to hurt anybody, even the bad guys, because underneath the, and I know how bad some of the top bad guys are. I've got more connection to knowing about that than I want to, but underneath that most hideous external facade that they fully identify with and they've been focused on for generations, and I've traced their campaign to destroy humanity back at least 15,000 years that I know of. Underneath that, that's not who they are. Big secret that we're not supposed to know, and there are many of those. And this is hard for anybody to believe, but it's like, again, in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, that I love that story. I started reading it for the first time when I was about 12, I guess, and which is a long time ago. And Gollum, who ended up saving Middle Earth, you know, and he was one of the worst people, and you wouldn't think that he'd ever do anything good. Frodo, who was the star, was reluctant to kill him, because he got guidance that, you know, who should decide life and death for anybody else if you have a choice, unless you're protecting yourself or others. And underneath Gollum's exterior was a regular hobbit like Frodo. And even though that might seem kind of fantasy level, you know, thinking and not realistic, I'm not being unrealistic. I'm just telling you my perception that underneath the worst of the bad guys, that are really bad, no question, is the same being that we are. And I know a lot of people think I'm completely insane for saying that, but I really, that's what I see. And that is not just an idea, it's what gives us our real option to change things in the world. So, you know, I'm coming from a different kind of context when I talk about the news. I don't have any interest in just reciting everything bad that's happening. I want you guys and me and everybody to be okay. Not just minimally okay. I want us to have a really great existence for whatever time we have left here. And I have caring for the other life forms on this planet too. It's not only humans and a bunch of inanimate objects. You know, other life forms are not unconscious, and you know, we kind of disdainfully talk about them as, well, these animals running around, all that, they only have instinct, they don't feel anything, they're not aware like we wonderful humans are. And you know, as a human race, we haven't really quite proven yet that we have any intelligence yet at all. So it's kind of a joke to say stuff like that. So I want the whole biosphere to be okay, and I think there's a way to do it. I think, you know, the work that we're doing to work to stop geoengineering and GMOs and all this other stuff is important to support regenerative agriculture, like Ronnie Cummins talks about, the head of Organic Consumers Association, OCA, organicconsumers.org, if I remember right, but you can just look them up if you want. I don't think they have much appreciation for Donald Trump. They probably think he's the devil or one of the incarnations of the devil, but they do have some really good appreciation of true agriculture. Now, I would do it a little bit different. I wouldn't be raising animals to eat, because that's a long story too. We're not designed as carnivores. I don't hate people who are eating meat. I used to eat as much meat as anybody could possibly eat, and I thought I needed it, but later on I found out there are reasons that if you want consciousness and you want health, two of my big interests actually that I like to share on these shows, then killing and eating animals is not helpful for you. And it makes you susceptible to things that you don't really need to deal with. But the idea of regenerative agriculture and restoring the soil is not just a good idea. It's like really critical for survival. And GMOs that, you know, you guys know that Bayer bought Monsanto, right? And this is one of the things that Trump, if he was more awake and aware of what's going on with chemical agriculture, should have vetoed, because it needed government approval. Or he should have pressed for the veto for the appropriate department. And he didn't. I mean, Trump just seems to like big business and not realize that it's suicidal. Some of the big businesses are suicidal for humanity and the biosphere. One of them being Bayer now, because they bought Monsanto, right? So, excuse me, the marches against Monsanto as possibly one of the most evil companies on Earth, and that's saying a lot because there's a bunch of really bad ones. Now it's Bayer. And you're supposed to think, oh, that evil Monsanto's gone. All we have is that friendly, really sweet Bayer company who makes the aspirin that saves you from headaches. And how could they possibly be bad, right? But they're really bad. Because now they're behind trying to corrupt the whole seed system for the entire planet. And GMOs are not just for seeds. The intent is to make GMOs, you know, GMO animals, which they're already doing. You're not supposed to know too much about it, but that's already been going on for a long time. And GMO forest trees, they want to replace all the natural forests with GMO trees, and they're actually working with universities, I think Cornell and other ones, to develop GMO trees to replace the existing forests with those things in rows, like corn plants, you know. And then they have these giant machines that come in, rip the tree out, just cut it all up right away and turn it into paper or whatever. I mean, it's just complete atrocity. No respect for nature whatsoever. And that's already going on, okay? That's what the bigger GMO picture is. And then ultimately, of course, what's the point unless you're going to make GMO humans too, right? Which they're kind of already doing, because when you eat certain kinds of GMOs and they go into your gut and the bacteria transfer genes into your gut and your gut can start producing its own pesticide, not to keep pests away that you don't want. I mean, to fill you up with poison. It's not a really brilliant idea unless you're trying to destroy humanity. which they're actually trying to do. So I guess it is kind of a brilliant idea from their point of view. Because you see all these parallel campaigns going on, you know. And one of them is the development of GMOs. One of them is more and more heavy-duty pesticides. Roundup is like something that should never be allowed on the planet at all. And it's all the hardware stores and garden stores are full of it. And they say, wow, this is great. You know, convenience. We can kill these evil weeds without having to actually bend over and move at all. You can kill all these weeds by just standing up and you can stay more like a robot, right? Which is really saving you so much energy. And these anything green dies on contact. But, you know, wait a minute, anything green, there's something about anything green. Oh, yeah, that was to produce oxygen so that we could stay alive, right? And now there's Roundup, which the company Monsanto originally said that it was biodegradable. You know, I've talked to gardeners, organic gardeners even, who think that that's true. Well, that was completely made up. It's not biodegradable at all. It lasts a long time, and the byproducts that it chemically changes into, some of those are worse than Roundup. And it's approved by the government, our government anyway, in the U.S. and many others. And now it's all over the world. So, you know, Trump, if he was more aware, should have stopped that. And it's not, I don't think Ronnie Cummins is right that Trump's just evil and wants to kill everybody. I think that's silly. There are a lot of really smart people who don't understand any of this stuff. They're not all intentionally evil. That's a difference. At the top level, that's what seems to have attracted the people that are intentionally evil. And, you know, what do I mean by evil? Because people have different ideas of what evil means, right? Evil. Some people have thought evil means the wrong religion. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stories from many religions, and I'm trying to use the language here that's not going to get us kicked off the air right away, because I want you to be able to find us on YouTube and everything, wonderful YouTube, and they're really into censorship, so I'm going to try to talk generically as much as I can. And hopefully that you understand, you're educated enough to follow what I'm trying to say to you. I read a book called Handbook for the New Paradigm about 20 years ago. Was it that long? 15 maybe. And it said that we'll reach a time when in books and, I mean, the internet was barely starting, so. But just in public communication, you know, over electronic media, and they were talking about books in particular, that everything would be automatically scanned by AI for censorship, and now that's happening. And they say it's to keep you safe, right? To give, like, Facebook says, Zuckerberg said, to give a, make, we want our users to have a good experience, right? We just love our users, so we don't want them to have any distress or pain or anything. So we have to censor anything that might distress them or that might offend anybody. So we're in that period now where that censorship is going on. AI is doing it. They do have human sensors, but the AI sensors are doing more and more of the work, and eventually they won't need any of the human ones. In fact, the plan is to not need any of the humans in most jobs. And then you'll get this wonderful guaranteed stipend to live on. And it's like free money, right? What could be wrong with that? It's like the cities get now. And it's enticing them to all sign contracts for the free money so that they all agree to all the elements of Agenda 21. It just makes, you know, everything work great. And the same thing is when they don't need humans to work. They'll just give you free money, but you just have to sign the terms of service, basically, right, that nobody ever reads. And the terms of service will be you agree not to have any thoughts, words, or actions that contradict the policies of the ruling governments and corporations. So no problem. As long as you agree to that, you can eat. Of course, all you'll have to eat is GMO food. It's really not going in a very good direction. And I'm not bringing you this show for being discouraged. Quite the contrary. I don't feel discouraged at all. I don't feel pessimistic at all. I'm aware of, in considerable detail, a lot of these programs that are going on in all coordinated with each other towards a specific goal, which the bottom line of it is extermination of life on this planet. It's not in my research, okay, and what I can tell from it, and I'm totally subject to error. I'm not some kind of authority on anything. I never will be, but I'm honestly looking at things, and I've been doing that for a long time. And I think the bottom line of where the power structure wants it to go, and I don't mean every elected official, I mean the people above and behind the scenes that are really focused on a generational plan for the world, their bottom line is extermination of life. And it's not obviously for money, because if you exterminate life, you're not going to make very much money at the end, right? Because if everybody's dead, then that money doesn't do you any good. So that's not their intent. They use money to motivate the corporate and government rulers under them, who are all excited about their power position and the prestige and how they can order people around and order people killed or, you know, destroyed or whatever. That's what they're into. So the money is used on that level, and the money is used on our level to keep us subservient, because we're either working so hard to try to survive with enough money for that, or we're dependent on government and we have to do what it wants in order to get our free handout, which always comes with lots of conditions. And the cities are doing the same thing, and that's why they're moving towards Agenda 21, because their planning departments are having to agree to implement elements of Agenda 21 in order to get the free money called government grants. Tom DeWeese has been on our Sunday show multiple times. He's one of the best guys working on Agenda 21, although there are many other good ones. And he's doing incredible work to try to not have that come to fruition. And he agreed with me that government grants are one of the biggest weapons against local government and the people that has been thought of so far. And it seems like as long as government is run by people at the top whose intent is malicious, anything they give you is going to have some interesting strings attached. So anyway, looking at what's going on from those understandings in the world, you see some good things, you know, people trying to buck the system. Trump, even though he's got a lot to learn about toxic business and environmental things, which are not a scam, which are really important. And he does give lip service to that, okay? He says, we want the cleanest water and cleanest air and healthy environment and everything. He does know to say that, and I think he believes it. But he hasn't grasped the idea that a lot of the businesses, companies, and individuals that he is letting continue in operations are making a healthy environment completely impossible. And if he's going to do a good job on that level, he's going to have to get to where he can confront those, just like he was thinking of confronting vaccines. Because on that level, I mean, as we said, there's way too much for me to cover as far as what's going on in the world. But vaccines like GMO are a big issue right now. And the vaccine companies, which have a lot of money, they make tons of money on vaccines. I mean, it's very, very profitable. Mercola and others have pointed out that vaccines are probably the most profitable part of the medical industry business right now, worth billions and billions of dollars. And there's no liability. If they make a vaccine that kills everybody, it's not their fault. They're totally free of any repercussions. There's a semi-secret vaccine court that, like, 1% of the people who get their kids killed and injured by vaccines ever find it, and a percentage of them ever get anything out of it after years of fighting. Even with almost nobody getting compensated, they paid out almost $4 billion so far for these safe and effective vaccines and all the death and injury that they've caused. So vaccines are a pretty big issue, and state governments are really apparently impressed by the vaccine lobbies and the incredible amount of money that the vaccine companies have to just give you if you're a cooperative legislator in any of the states. So they're moving towards following the lead of California to take away your freedom of choice if you want your kid to go to school. And they really wanted to make this even for homeschooling too. They didn't quite get it done yet. Then you have to have them injected with whatever chemicals the state happens to be recommending. And some people still think, well, if they recommend it, it must be good for your health, right? It's so opposite to that, that it's almost impossible for most people to even imagine the real system. Del Bigtree, who's been on our show before, a major person in Vaxxed, getting the movie produced, great person as far as I'm concerned, one of the people doing extremely good work in the world, and has a radio show also called High Wire, which I haven't had time to watch a lot of it, but knowing Del, I'm sure it's incredible, so you might want to look that up sometime. We're not in competition with people like this. I totally agree with Alex Jones in this. We're not trying to dominate the market. We want everybody to start, you know, waking up and working within their own environment, whatever they're good at, or within their family or their workplace or their school or whatever, to work for consciousness and harmony in the world, and, you know, world peace, not by killing everybody that disagrees with you, but world peace by waking everybody up to who they really are, even the bad guys. So our idea is that we're not here to destroy or kill the bad guys. We're here to heal them. And you can't do that just by saying a few things. You've got to access the location where the power is located, that you could actually do that in real life. We're not talking about a philosophy. I have no use for that. I'm not looking for belief systems or philosophies or stuff that you memorize and say it's true, like modern science has degenerated into that now. I'm interested in what really works as practically as on the martial arts mat, but on a much deeper level. So I guess what I was talking about with Dell is he was talking about a hearing that was in some division of under CDC. I think it's the group that ACIP may be the one who advisory committee on something or other, but it was the group that approves new vaccines, right, for recommending them to all the children in America, but other countries probably would follow it too in one way or another, because the drug companies are controlling them just like they're putting pressure on the United States. And they were looking at this new adjuvant, and you know, to me, this is a really interesting subject. I hope that you're not bored by it, but adjuvants are things that you put in the vaccines in order to get what they have defined as what they call an immune response by the body. But again, just like we were talking about with Jeff, words are used to deceive you. So immune response, that sounds really good, right? It must mean that you're immune and then you couldn't get a disease. Well, it turns out that's totally not what it means. This is really best explained by a doctor named Sherry Tenpenny, who's going to be on the show. It's really exciting that after years of unsuccessfully trying to get a contact with her and ask her on, she's agreed to come on, and I'm excited about it. This is so great for me because I get to be learning from and talking with all of you guys, some of the most amazing teachers in all these different areas, and Sherry Tenpenny is one of them. She was explaining in an event hosted by Dane Wigington in California, that you have to understand the terminology about vaccines. The terminology is that they're safe and effective, right? And that doctors don't actually learn that in school. They memorize it, like by hearing it thousands and thousands of times and having to repeat it on tests. This is not learning. This is memorizing. And you can memorize stuff that's not true, right? In fact, famous dictators have talked about tell a big lie often enough and big enough, and pretty soon everybody's just going to assume it's true. Self-evident truth, right? And the nephew of Sigmund Freud, known as the father of social programming and propaganda and stuff like that, Bernays, Edward Bernays, he really brought this into modern use, using words as a weapon against humanity to get them to ask for and implement their own destruction. And that's one of the elements of the people at the top level of the power structure, is the ones who I would say are really working for evil. But deep underneath that identity are just like us. Just like Gollum was a regular hobbit underneath. And I'm not saying that out of naivete. I'm saying it having looked at it for a long time. Those people, they want us to believe that we're doing something for our own good when we're actually committing suicide. For example, by taking vaccines. And a lot of the people in the vaccine choice movement are rushing to say, well, but I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm not any science, okay? Don't think that I'm a complete idiot. I'm not anti-vaccine. That seems kind of strange to me, because if somebody said that cutting your head off was a really good way to avoid brain cancer, because if you don't have a brain and a head, it's 100% chance that you're never going to get brain cancer in this body anyway. I don't think that's a very good idea. To paraphrase a quote from Christmas Story, I don't think it's a very good idea at all. And so I would be anti-cutting off your head to prevent brain cancer. I don't think that's an unscientific point of view. And if you're talking about injecting multiple toxins into a person, and I've looked at the history of this all the way back to Edward Jenner in about 1799 in the UK, who is the first modern person to have come up with this practice that I know of anyway. Even back then, they were hurting and killing lots of people, especially kids, and spreading the disease that they were supposed to be inoculating against, and other diseases too. And I think it's reasonable not to be in favor of that. I know that's a really extreme point of view, but to me that's just logical. So, but we're being brainwashed to think that anybody who is against injecting kids with all these poisons is a murderer, hates herd immunity, wants to kill children. And some people who still believe that don't realize the weapon that fake media is actually believe this stuff. And there's these massive fights going on about it. But Dell and others who have been brave enough, if you really want to start understanding something about vaccines, there's some good books that are worth reading that I can tell you because I read them. Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, Dissolving Illusions, great book on the history and results of vaccines. And Dr. Tim O'Shea, Vaccination is Not Immunization, that's also another great book. And immunization is a word that just got slipped in there. They said vaccines for a long time. Then they start saying immunization, making you think that, oh, well, if you get this shot, you're immune. Not really. See, the immune response is when these things called antibodies show up in the blood to try to fight an attack that's going on. Like you inject aluminum into the body, which is not a disease, and the body creates all these antibodies, and the drug companies, too nice of a word, I think, but the drug companies say, look, there's an antibody response. That's an immune response, okay? So you're obviously immune. And what they don't want you to even think about is to ask the question, if there's antibodies, are you immune from the disease? Whoa, you can't ask that. No, you have to ask that. So if you do ask that, as Sherry Tenpenny and Dr. Tenpenny in her talk in California pointed out, some people who have almost no antibody count at all have great natural immunity, and some people with tons of antibodies get the disease right away. So how much correlation is there between antibody count and real immunity to disease? Zero. There's just zero. There's no connection. So if that's true, and it is, and not in my opinion, it's all these doctors have found the same thing. They tested it, who got the diseases, how many antibodies they had. It can change the disease sometimes into another form, which is often worse and sometimes delayed, but it doesn't save the person from disease. So what they're calling the antibody response, which means effective vaccines, is not the same thing as real-life immunity. Watch Dr. Tenpenny's talk if you want the details. That's like this big deal that that's the case. This is a complete scam that anybody should get vaccines for anything. Alex Jones had the idea that the elite are taking clean vaccines with no adjuvants and no aluminum, and I don't agree with that at all. You know, you don't have to decide that somebody's like right about everything or wrong about everything. And just look at each thing individually. The elites, so-called elites, the power people in control, if they're intelligent, and a lot of them are super intelligent, they would never take vaccines. Even a doctor, medical doctor, who doesn't know a lot of this stuff, observing what happens to people who get vaccines, especially if you've ever seen the, like our show with Dr. Molden, the brain expert who showed that it's not a risk that a vaccine might hurt you. It's a guarantee. It's just a different kind of harm and level of harm in every case. And he gave public talks showing how that's the case. A medical doctor who has to inject people with poisons to keep his insurance active and to keep his license would never give that to his own family or himself. I'm not being sexist. This applies to women doctors, obviously, too. He or she would never do that to himself or herself or their own family. Because it's obvious. You're not there to hurt people. You know, most people who got into the medical field on the academic level or medical staff or any other part of it, they actually wanted to help people. Unfortunately, they were trained that giving people vaccines and using toxic chemicals called medicine was really advanced science. It's completely ridiculous, guys. What I feel like is the kid in the Emperor's New Clothes. And when it's obvious, when common sense should tell you that, look, if you're getting sick or you're getting a degenerative disease, cancer or heart disease or lung cancer, any of these things, you know, arthritis, the things that are considered common and normal now because everybody's getting them. If you take the Emperor's New Clothes approach, you should think, wait a minute, why would that be normal? Where's the law written that that has to be normal, that you fall apart, your body doesn't work anymore, you don't remember who you are, and you end up completely disintegrating, spending the last 20 years of your life in some kind of a home, getting drugged out of your mind so you won't realize how bad you feel? Why is that normal? So I started asking that question many decades ago, and I didn't know the answer, and I am still, you know, really a beginner in that investigation because it's so vast. But it's okay to share the stuff that we do see and experience because it would save time with other people that are trying to do the same thing. So as far as understanding the news of the week and how it relates to all this stuff in the bigger context of everything, so that we're not just looking at the news to blow away our time memorizing more and more and more news, even if it's real news, if you're watching some good private newscaster who has a good intent, or Alex Jones, or you know, Steve Quayle, any of these other really good reporters, the point is not to just know 1,000 things that are going on that are bad. It's to understand our situation strategically so we could do something positive. I don't know any other reason for knowing what's going on other than to see what you could do. Not necessarily by being a public official, although it'd be good to get some well-motivated public officials in office. But even in your home with your family members, in your school, in your job, whether you're, you know, cleaning a restroom or digging a ditch or running a company, it doesn't matter what it, whatever you're doing, how can you put a different kind of attitude into it to be contributing to an antidote for all the suffering and hell that's being purposely perpetuated in the world or perpetrated? And there are ways you can do it. So that's why I look at the news, you know, to see what can we do. And when I look at all these different things that are going on, even the nuclear power, okay, which is obviously suicidal. I mean, the people who developed it, who are not at the top level, just the scientists and the engineers and everything, they're victims of higher education because it made them into technical experts, right? But they didn't understand the context of their expertise. So they knew all these complex equations and how to make things work, how to, as Einstein said, how to boil water using nuclear decay, you know, and with all this waste coming out, nuclear waste, and this guaranteed chance that eventually there would be meltdowns and catastrophic damage to the world. They didn't notice that because what they were trained in higher education, that they are specialists. And as long as they're doing a good job on their little specialty, that everything's great. And that's literally how they're trained. I know I'm right in the middle of so-called higher education system. And that mode of training was designed so that they would become perfect servants of the system and could be used to destroy life. And it's working. So the kind of knowledge that we need to turn things around is not just technical expertise. That's good if it's used for, you know, good purposes, not with toxic elements to it that counteract all the good from it. It can be good, but the real knowledge that everybody needs is awareness through what used to be called common sense and perception, so that you can be quiet in your mind and look at something and not be subject to these programs that are running, that this is what you're supposed to think about this, this is what you're supposed to think about that, this is good, this is bad, just because you've memorized these programs, like vaccines are safe and effective, and we can't find the cure for cancer. We're spending billions of dollars, and we're just trying so hard, and we can't find the cure. That's total nonsense. But you don't realize that if you're a victim of higher education, not without a lot of work on yourself. So in order to get that kind of awareness, which is what you need, because you personally, there's a lot of secrets, okay, that you're not supposed to know about. But the biggest one that I've ever found, way over and above any of these issues that are going on, is who you are. And that, the reason for that is not so that you can adopt a certain belief system and say, oh, well, now I really know who I am and I could tell everybody else and we're going to have a club and everybody who's out of it is not as good. And that's the religion approach. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting in touch with a reality inside yourself that opens up what should be your real normal state and your real normal abilities. And it's not somebody else, it's you. So when you see all these things going on in the world, the chemical agriculture that should be true organic that we'll talk about at some point, because it's beyond the current definition of organic, way beyond. It should be a lot better. It's not the medical system killing a million people in America every year with drugs that are properly used. And it's not the nuclear power plants. The biggest secret is the fact that you are holding power that you have no idea. And there are all kinds of clues about it, and we can get into them more as time permits. This is a really short, only once a week show. But that's the biggest secret that I've ever found. I'll share it with you right now. And it's that you are the hidden antidote for all this stuff. And it's related to what they're doing with 5G and with cell towers and with microwave weapons that Barry Troer has been on our show describing in great detail multiple times, that were perfected to a great degree before World War II and are much more advanced now. The global rulers intend to do a lot of their destruction using frequency weapons. The microwave technology is part of this that they're telling you is for wonderful convenience. That's not why they're doing it, you guys. But the clue is that you take from that, there's a bigger generator of frequencies than any cell tower that they can come up with. And that's part of your basic organism in the physical body. It's subtle, and it's very low amount of amperage and watts and current and stuff like that, but it's much more powerful. Becoming conscious of that and learning how to use it, now you're starting to talk about antidotes, and it gets really exciting. And you're the star player, whoever you are. Your outer identity doesn't matter. It's who you really are. Who is masquerading as your name, your body type, your gender, your religion, your social class, how much money you have. Those are all outer characteristics of the character that you're playing in this play that we're all in. We're on the stage and in the audience watching at the same time. It's an amazing play. And you're the star character in your play. But those characteristics of the character that you're playing so well, very realistic, by the way, you're a great actor, as all of us are. That is not what matters most. And if we get beyond that identity and connect back to who we really are, it opens up abilities and normal faculties that we have forgotten long ago. And those are the only thing I've seen this late in the game, with the global rulers as far down the road toward our destruction as they are. That's the only thing I've seen that can, even now, turn it all around, do things that you would just think are ridiculous and impossible, like healing the oceans and the atmosphere, and more amazing than that, even changing the intent and the heart of the people doing the damage. You're the hidden key for that. And what the global rulers are most afraid of and most hoping is that they're afraid that you will ever find that out in a practical way, access it, learn to use it. And they're hoping that you never will. And that's the reason for the propaganda, the health attacks, because if you don't feel good physically, you can't do this inner work of consciousness. That's what it's all about. And that's why the news matters, because it gives us such a strategic awareness of what we're dealing with and what we need to fix. And we're the hidden answer to how to do that. So I'm glad that you're interested in that, you know, enough to pay attention to these things. They're really important. I hope we get left on these social media channels long enough so we can talk about it some more. There are levels of it that we can't get into in a public forum, and for that, if any of you have any interest, you're always invited to join us on the meetings of the Planetary Healing Club, lostartsradio.com/club, but it's not mandatory if you're not interested in that. I'm going to try to have time to make more and more free YouTube videos if you're interested, and I like your feedback. I really appreciate that. So Lost Arts Radio has a Facebook page, Facebook group, a forum on the website, lostartsradio.com, or if you have things that you specifically want addressed or covered in this little so-called news show that we do once a week that's kind of half news and half other things, you can email them in, richard@lostartsradio.com. But the motive is really clear. I just want us all to be okay. So if you want to join us for the more private club meeting, it starts in half an hour, lostartsradio.com/club. The Sunday show, which is tomorrow, is going to be Jeff Berwick, that you might have heard of, a friend of ours who's one of the chief world-level anarchy people, really interesting, neat guy, and great discussion that we'll have. It was live stream, but we're playing it on our radio show tomorrow, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. So hopefully I'll see you there or back here next week. And thanks for joining us. I hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, and I would just mention just real quick that we had some viewers in New Zealand and other places around the world just now. I thought that was pretty cool.
Really cool. I hope you guys will let people know, because I am not an expert in how to promote any of this stuff. And if you want to let your friends know, if you think they'd be interested, please invite them. This is for everybody who's interested.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again, everybody, and we will see you next week.